The holidays are over. I think a lot of us are very glad to be able to have seen family, but also to go on with our regular schedules. And so that'll certainly start for all of us, those of us who have already been back to work, getting back in those routines. This is the first Sunday of the new year, and I'd like to introduce our congregational theme for 2020. It's based on Acts 20:20, where Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders. He has been with them for a good 3 years. He addresses them in these verses as overseers of the Ephesian church, as shepherds. And he says, while he was with them preaching, he said, "I did not shirk to declare to you anything that was profitable. I did not shirk from teaching you in public and from house to house." That verse will serve as the basis for our theme this year, our 2020 vision. You go to the ophthalmologist, and wouldn't it be great to be able to have that diagnosis? Many of us, though, don't have it naturally. Anybody here have 20/20 vision without glasses? I don't see any hands. Okay, there's one back there. Lucky you. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I had LASIK surgery a number of years ago and was able to walk out and enjoy not wearing glasses, not getting out of a cool car and walk in the humidity, and they all fog up. But over the years, it seems I need to go visit the eye doctor again, and maybe I don't have 20/20 vision anymore, especially in my right eye. With our spiritual eyes, though, we don't want any myopic distortion. We want to be able to see clearly and perfectly. And the way we're going to do that is through the prism of God's Word. It needs to be in our hearts and minds. And Paul says, "I have not shirked from declaring to you," he says in verse 27, "the whole counsel of God." And so we're going to talk about our 2020 vision this year. Every first Sunday of the month, we will address this lesson. And there are going to be several points of emphasis throughout the year. This month and through March, we're going to talk about this idea of God, praying that He will open our eyes, even if, as we have already sung this morning. It is based on that verse from that song, the concept that we'll be talking about is open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus is certainly part of that song, but it's not just our Lord. It's everything that we want to be able to see clearly and perfectly. We're going to shift our focus as we continue to talk about seeing in April through June, and it's based on a statement that Jesus made in Luke 7. Verse 44, when he was talking to someone and says, "Do you see this woman?" And we're going to talk about seeing people, those who are lost. Do you see the lost? That's how we might paraphrase that and apply it generally. In that passage, Simon the Pharisee was eating lunch with Jesus, as you recall, and he had disdain for this woman who invaded their lunch. And what Jesus did is He said to Simon, while looking at the woman, he says, "Do you see this woman?" Well, yes, he did, of course. She was front and center. But yet he didn't see her. He didn't see the precious soul that she had and her desperate need for the gospel. Yes, she is called a sinner in this passage in verse 37. We don't know exactly what her sin is. We might can guess. But she was a woman of ill repute in that community. Jesus saw her desperate need for salvation, and Simon was blind to her soul's needs and his own. And we'll talk about how we can reach out to the lost in 2020. The song that we sang, led by Walker, I appreciate very much the song selection this morning. But that famous song, Amazing Grace, in that first verse at the end, it says, "I once was blind, but now I see." And we'll talk about spiritual blindness as a point of emphasis in July, August, and September. And then we'll finish out the year emphasizing the significance of seeing our Lord Jesus, even as Noe talked about in his prayer prior to the communion this morning. We want to see Jesus sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. We want to see Him. And this is based on a statement made by some Gentiles who came to Philip, the apostle, and said, "We wish to see Jesus." And Jesus went on to say, "I want everyone to see what I'm about to do." And from that point on, He set His face toward the cross, to die on the cross of Calvary for all humanity. I hope this will help us build our faith this year as we think about and focus on our 2020 vision. Spiritual sight. It must be crystal clear. It must be absolutely exactly what God wants us to be, so that we can know what He expects of us as His disciples. I want you to turn with me to Acts 20 if you haven't already. And we're going to observe this context and talk for a few minutes about the verses here. In Acts 20, verse 20, Paul says, "I did not shirk from declaring to you, from teaching you." That concept, shirking, is very interesting. It's hard to translate, quite frankly. And you may have a different translation than what I have here in the ESV. It is interesting that Paul uses this same terminology just a few verses later when he says, "I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." And so that helps us understand what he means by anything that was profitable earlier in verse 20. He's not talking about mathematics, everything that you need to know about equations. He's not talking about politics and how to navigate your way to the voting booth. He says, "I want to talk to you about that which is spiritual. What God wants us to understand. The whole counsel of God," is how it's translated in Acts 20, verse 27 in the ESV. God wants us to know His Word. He wants us to know His will. Even this morning in our Bible class, we talked about that as we gird on the belt of truth, we said in Ephesians 6 and verse 14. We need the truth to be front and center in our lives as Christians. We need to read it. In fact, this morning, my wife, I was talking to her and she said, "Hey, I can't do that right now. I'm in the middle of my Bible reading." That's how we get God's Word in our hearts and in our minds. Isn't it amazing how we can read a passage and come back to it months later and have details jump out at us again that we missed perhaps the first time, or that we had, in my case, we had forgotten and needed to be reminded of. So what does Paul mean when he says, "I did not shirk"? Some other translations convey other nuances. So in the New International Version, it says, "I have not hesitated." Then in the NET Bible, it says, "I did not hold back." And that is certainly a concept embedded in this word. Or the classic King James renders it, "I kept nothing back." Paul says, when I came to the Ephesian church, preached for 3 years, I did not shirk. I did not hold back anything. I preached everything that was profitable for you. Anything that was profitable. It might be tempting sometimes to say, well, there are some touchy issues in our world today, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Paul says, I didn't shy away from those. In our pulpit here at Parkway, we're going to address issues like modesty. We're going to talk about homosexuality. We're going to talk about what the work of the church is in contrast to what the world says we ought to be doing as New Testament Christians. We're going to stick out like a sore thumb, as it were, because we want to give the whole counsel of God. We want to let everyone know this is what God's Word says. This is what it means. We don't mind. I don't mind being challenged on a passage. I have said many times, in answer to somebody's question, "I don't know." Or, in the face of their argument, "I am wrong. You are right." We need to be able to have humility of heart and honesty of mind to be able to express to someone, "Haven't really thought about that. Let me consider that more." Paul challenged these churches that he preached at, including Ephesus, And he said, I gave you everything that you needed. That's the attitude of heart we need to have as New Testament Christians. We want everything. Hold nothing back. We want to know all that God says and apply it correctly in our 21st century world. Let me give you an example of someone who did hold back. It's a little different context, but it's in the book of Galatians, and it is the Apostle Peter. You remember the condemnation that Paul levies against his fellow apostle, and he says that Peter, who was during this time of transition, he was associating with Gentiles. You remember, Jews and Gentiles had no dealings with each other. Well, as New Testament Christians, that barrier has been taken out of the way by Jesus our Lord. He made the two into one, Ephesians 2 talks about. There is no division between us ethnically anymore. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And Peter got that. He understood that. He preached it, but he failed to practice it when he was facing peer pressure from his fellow Jews. And so Paul says, before certain men came from James, some Jews from Jerusalem is what he's talking about. He says, Peter was eating with the Gentiles before they came, but when they came, he drew back. It's that same verb. He drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party, fearing the Jews. And just, it's amazing, absolutely remarkable that an apostle of Jesus would act so hypocritically. And Paul goes on to say that even Barnabas was carried up in his hypocrisy. What was Peter doing by his example? He was shrinking from declaring the whole counsel of God. He was not living it as he should have. We can't do that in our lives. And I appreciate the song that was led. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. That's the challenge that has been given to us by the gospel. We want by our lives, how we live our lives, what we say, how we act, we want people to be able to see Jesus living in us. We must not shirk from that responsibility. There's a passage that I want us to look at, and if you would turn with me to 2 Timothy, the screen I see says 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll remind you of these powerful words spoken by the Apostle Paul to a preacher, a young man, Timothy, who needed to hear this admonition. He says, preach the word. Preach it. Just like Paul was doing. He's not shirking from preaching the word, but he is preaching the word boldly. And he says, you need to be ready to preach the word. Notice what he says. In season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. He had just talked in the closing verses of the previous chapter about the Bible being the inspired Word of God and is able to guide us in every way, in every aspect of our lives as Christians. And now he says, you need to take that and preach it to others. And then he goes on to explain in verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. And we'll stop there. 2 Timothy 2, verses 2 through 4, we have just read together, where Paul says that there are going to be preachers out there who will shirk from declaring the whole counsel of God, and people are going to love it. They're going to want to hear it. We're not here to tell jokes or funny stories. We're here to focus on the life-changing gospel. That's what we are trying to do as New Testament Christians in our Bible classes and in our sermons. We want to declare the whole counsel of God. And that's what Paul was able to say to the Ephesian elders. That's what I have done. I did not shirk in declaring to you anything that was profitable. I did not shirk in teaching you, both publicly and from house to house. I declare the whole counsel of God. And because he had done that, he is able to say, secondly, this morning, look with me at verse number 26 of Acts 20. Paul says, I am innocent. It's hard for us to think about how vital the words of life are, because they're just words. But this is a heavy responsibility that is laid upon us as we read God's Word, study it, and teach it. We have a responsibility to others to teach them the truth. And so what does Paul say here in verse 26 of Acts 20? I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all because I did not shirk. I believe Paul is basing this language in verse 26 on the words that God said to his prophet Ezekiel. I'll just share with you a couple of verses from Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel 3, he also talks about this later in Ezekiel 33. But this is what God says to him, to the Son of Man, to Ezekiel. He says, you shall give them warning from me. Whatever I teach you, whatever I tell you, you are going to teach to them. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you shall give him no warning, then God says, from you, Ezekiel, from the preacher, he says, his blood I will require at your hands. James warns us in James 4, he says, let not many of you be teachers. This is a major responsibility that we have to study, to know with confidence what it is that we are teaching, and to make sure that it is correct, accurate, and to teach it applicably and effectively. This is a hard, difficult challenge, but it's also important for us as listeners to not simply be passive, but to be active listeners, to be involved in the reception of the Word of God, to test what is being said, to consider it for ourselves before we start applying it to ourselves as Christians. It is absolutely vital that we each study God's Word on our own, and when we come together to worship, we listen actively. It is your responsibility. I want to do my part as a preacher. I want to tell you what the Bible says. Throughout 2020, throughout my work here, that's what I want to strive for. I want to arm you with a knowledge that will help you and encourage you and motivate you. But ultimately, it is your responsibility. I want to be able to stand before God as a preacher of the gospel. I did not shirk. I have presented God's Word totally and completely. And we're going to have a wide variety of topics. We're going to talk about some tough issues, because I am conscience-bound to do just exactly that. And so as we go back to Acts 20, I want to close this morning by looking at this verse, Acts 20, verse 27, and talk about the whole counsel of God. That was absolutely vital to Paul. In 3 years of preaching, he was able to teach them the whole counsel of God. He talks about that in verse 31. I've been here 1 year. I've still got 2 more years to go before I tell you everything you need to know. Of course, you're a good Bible student. You know what God's Word teaches. I'm going to do my part to reinforce it, to remind you, to not skirt around issues just because they're not popular. That's what the eldership here expects of me. Paul, as a preacher, helped that eldership. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm here to help them as they shepherd you, as they guide you and feed you on God's Word. I'm going to do my part. We have Bible class teachers who are trying to do the same. We want to provide you with the whole counsel of God. This idea of the whole counsel, the same term is used in a couple of other passages, and I want to share them with you. In Acts 2 and verse 23, Peter is standing before the very people who had demanded Jesus be crucified. And he says, Jesus was delivered according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. That's this idea here of counsel, God's instruction for us, His words, His plan of salvation that was made possible through Jesus. And this is something that God had in the works for centuries. This is what we're giving in our lessons. And we're sometimes people will talk about this being the bread of life that we are breaking and giving to people. And that's absolutely true. This is the spiritual manna from God, His message that we need for our spiritual lives. And may God help us in 2020 to read God's Word vociferously. We want to have it in our hearts and in our minds constantly. especially as we try to combat this evil world in which we live. This definite plan of God was in His mind before mankind sinned in Genesis chapter 3. God immediately had a plan to redeem humanity, and He brought it about through His providence, through His wisdom. And He has given that in Jesus and His church, and we proclaim it, we share it with the world. I want you to look at one last passage with me. In Luke chapter 7, you have this concept of the purpose of God expressed. And it's with a tinge of sadness. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 30, this comment is made by Luke, the gospel writer. He says, "The Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by Him." And certainly in the New Testament age, there are people who have rejected the gospel, who have not embraced it and accepted it, and have not clothed themselves with baptism. As a church, we want to have 2020 vision. And that is going to ultimately lead us to clothe ourselves with Jesus in baptism. On these theme sermons, at the close of them, I would like for one of our elders to pray on behalf of the church. And I'm going to ask Ricardo, if he would, to lead us in a prayer that God will open our eyes in 2020. And that we will respond to the gospel and have it in our hearts and in our minds. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Amen. Brothers and sisters, do you have plans to read the Bible in 2020? If nothing else, at least the New Testament. If you don't have a Bible reading plan, I have one I can provide you. It emphasizes the reading of the New Testament in 3 months. Very generous, just 5 days a week, sometimes less, to let you catch up a little bit. And the caveat is you only read one gospel in that 3 month period. And so you could theoretically read the New Testament 4 times in this calendar year. Old Testament a little longer, of course. We need to be reading God's Word, and I know many of you already are. You have your Bible reading plans. What about those of you who aren't Christians yet? Rob announced last week, as he summarized our 2019 year, there was one baptism among us last year. And we don't take that for granted. We're glad that we rejoice with the angels in heaven over one sinner that repents. But I do hope, I fully anticipate, we will have others who are close, who are almost ready to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and to be baptized for the remission of their sins. As this verse on the screen says, there were some who rejected the purpose of God for themselves. They were not baptized. Does that speak of someone here today who is yet to clothe themselves with Jesus in baptism? We're ready. We're prepared to assist you. We have an invitation song that I hope will motivate you to make your way to the front. We plead with you to come right now. Let's stand. Let's sing.